comes out of Genesis, chapters 37 to 50. A story of Jacob and Joseph and Joseph's brothers, etc. You've heard it multiple times, I'm sure, most of us at least. And it's a wonderful story. I love that story. And there are multitudes of lessons that God has for us in those chapters of Genesis and in that story of Jacob and Joseph and his brothers. As we come to November 21st, 2021, we're reminded of the truth from these chapters in Genesis. We're reminded of the truth that God has a plan, and God is working out his plan in the midst of all the evil that we see in our world. As we sang that song, I had to think of Joseph as he was in that pit that his brothers threw him into, and the thoughts that he must have had. But Joseph trusted in God. Joseph knew that God was in control. The family history of Joseph begins with his dad, Jacob. That we're going to look at today, at least, in Genesis 37 to 50. Begins with Jacob as dad, as a parent of a number of children, Joseph being the youngest, or one of the youngest in the family, and Joseph was loved by his dad. As a matter of fact, Joseph was the most loved of Jacob's children, and Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. That was Jacob's big parenting mistake. Okay, many of us have children, grandchildren, etc. How do we treat our grandkids in the midst of our other grandkids? I have a favorite son. I have a favorite son. Of course, I only have one. But one of the parenting mistakes that gets made often is that favoritism is shown to an individual child or an individual grandchild at the expense of the others. Parenting's never easy. Parenting is never easy. There are a multitude of choices that we have to make every day in relationship to our children and our grandkids. You know, a multitude of decisions. What should I do in this situation, at this time, with this child? And sometimes we don't think about the bigger implication that it has with the others. Jacob made a big parenting mistake by showing favoritism to Joseph. Parenting takes incredible wisdom. Wisdom for one child isn't necessarily the wisdom for another child. Every child, every grandchild is different, and everyone needs to be treated differently. Wisdom to do that is something that we all call for. Parenting takes God's help. Absolutely, parenting takes God's help. How do you decide what to do? Well, we pray a lot. Margaret and I prayed a lot. We still pray a lot for our grandkids and our kids. And all of you know who have children, you never stop being a parent. You're always a parent. And we Christian parents are always praying, God, help us know how to best be involved in our children's lives. So, I have a prayer here. And I have a response from God. You all might have something to say to me afterwards about these. A parent's prayer every day, every morning. God, give me wisdom and help me know how you would handle every child and every situation in this day. You maybe need to pray that today because there may be a child that you're going to be responding to today. Well, what's God's answer? Okay, and this may be what raises some questions for you and some comments. I say God's answer is this: love me and obey me with all your heart, and that will give your children the best foundation for making the right choices for their own lives. I'm going to read that again. Love me and obey me with all your heart, God says, and that will give your children the best foundation for making the right choices for their own lives. And that's found in Dale's notes, page 1. There's not a biblical reference. When we set godly examples of living for our children, we are doing the best thing that we can do to help them understand life and living and how they are to live. One of the very difficult things that I have faced in ministry and in life has been needing to share in Christian parents' lives who have had children who have made bad choices and have chosen to not follow the way of their parents' faith and life. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees. We need God's help every day, in every way. And I think the best thing we can do is live our lives loving our God and being obedient to Him. Okay, so we move on. So what were Jacob's sons' responses to his favoritism or to his example in living? Okay. And initially, I wrote in my notes just to Jacob's favoritism. As I thought about that and continued to work with this, I thought, I can't stop there with just that. Because part of his parenting was his example of life. And if you will go back and look at Jacob's life, you'll realize that he made some choices that weren't necessarily good choices either. And so, their response to his favoritism and his example of life. First of all, for Joseph, you know, we're all a little like Joseph. We all like to be made the favorite ones, don't we? Because we get special attention. Joseph got special attention from Jacob. He got that beautiful coat of many colors. And his dad was showing how much he loved him and showing favoritism to him. And Joseph loved that, I'm sure, just like I would love it. And Joseph was like all of us when we were young. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Joseph was like me when I was young. I didn't have a whole lot of wisdom. I was green behind the ears. My first pastoral position, I go in and, you know, I'm just out of seminary. And there's a pastor who's pastored for numbers of years who I'm going to be working with. And I'm sure there were many times that he shook his head and thought, Dale, what are you thinking? As young people, we often lack wisdom. Joseph lacked wisdom. And we see that in how he responded to his brothers. There were two visions that he had from God about things that were to come that weren't very appreciative to his brothers. And of course, Joseph thought, oh, hey, this is what God told me. I'm going to tell him. And he did. And that wasn't very wise. That was not wisdom. So, what happened as a result of that? Well, the brothers responded to the favoritism of their dad for Joseph and then to Joseph's lack of wisdom in his relaying these things to his brothers with jealousy and anger. Jealousy and anger lead to destructive choices. Jealousy and anger lead to heartbreak and loss. The brothers took Jacob. They talked about killing him. One of the brothers said, no, we shouldn't do that. That's going too far. And so they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. Jealousy and anger result in destructive choices and loss. I think of other places in the Bible that we see that. We see it with Cain and Abel. There was jealousy there, and then it turned into anger, and the one brother was killed. I think of King Saul and David. David and King Saul's son Jonathan were close friends. And Saul was jealous. Saul was fearful of this relationship that might impact his kingship. And as we follow the story of Saul and David, we realize the destructive nature of that anger and that jealousy that was in Saul as he tried to kill David numerous times and then eventually lost his own life. Well, the message for us today is this. God can take what looks like a mess to us and do amazing things to provide for his people and bring glory to his name. God can take a mess and do things that are absolutely amazing that help us, provide for us, care for us, and bring him glory. So how does this happen? A number of things that I believe are helpful to think about in terms of this. First of all, understand, foolish, youthful choices grow into mature wisdom. Well, it doesn't just happen. How does it happen? How did that happen for Joseph? Number one, and the thing that is most important, is that Joseph loved God and chose to pursue God's wisdom. Joseph loved God and chose to pursue God's wisdom. Now, I'm not sure how that happened in Joseph's life. Maybe the Spirit of God came at camp. And Joseph heard Henry Landis preach his sermon in camp for the youth. And Joseph said, yeah, that's it. Well, we know it wasn't Henry. But we know God somehow touched him. And Joseph made this choice to love God and seek God's wisdom. So when Joseph was in that pit that his brothers had thrown him into, he wasn't crying. He wasn't cursing his brothers. He was waiting to see what God was going to do. Joseph loved God and chose to seek God's wisdom. And then the second piece is this. Joseph chose to love rather than hate. If that had been you who'd been thrown into the pit by your brothers, what would your attitude be toward them? Well, if I'm honest, it probably wouldn't be very good for me. Joseph chose to love rather than hate. What is it that I say often from here? You know, what God tells us is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. God calls us to love. Joseph chose to love these brothers rather than hate them. And then Joseph chose to see the possibilities of God's plan being worked out. Not knowing what that plan was, but he chose to have faith and belief in his God, knowing that God's going to do something here that's going to be good. And Joseph chose to believe that, whether it was at the good times or the bad times. The bad times began in that pit. Joseph also had some bad times once he got into slavery, and once he was elevated to a place of importance. You might remember the story that, you know, this woman, and we're going to talk about that a little later, this lady came and tried to seduce Joseph, and that was a bad situation because Joseph got thrown into prison as a result of that again. He had done nothing wrong, but he was in a bad place again. But his attitude never changed. His attitude was one of understanding or believing that God was going to take this and use it to work out something good in his life. So now, point number two. Godly integrity leads to places of influence. Godly integrity leads to places of influence. Joseph determined not to do evil. Joseph determined to do no evil. He could have. You know, this lady who tried to seduce him, you know, he could have said, oh, wow. You know, oh, nobody's going to know. This is going to be okay. She came to me. Let's just get after it. But Joseph chose to do no evil. Integrity. Integrity leads to places of influence. Joseph consistently worshiped and honored God. As I thought of this, I thought also of the account of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel in the fiery furnace, etc. Daniel and his cohorts decided that they would not worship this idol that was set up. They determined they were not going to do that. They determined that they were going to honor and worship their God, their Lord and their God. And we remember Daniel's life also. He was lifted in a place of leadership and influence. His integrity, his determination to worship the Lord his God were things that elevated him into those positions. Joseph asked God for help. Yeah, we need to ask God for help daily in every situation. Joseph did that. Joseph passed on the message that God had given him. He was asked several times about dreams that, you know, the ruler had, and Joseph was willing to share and pass on the message. And not just a message of this is what that means, but it is the Lord God who has spoken to me and given me understanding and influence. Joseph demonstrated compassion. People in places of influence have power to do what do people do with the power they have? And we could look at numerous people who are in power in different places. This week, we've watched maybe some of the trials that have gone on, and the people in power made choices. Joseph acted with compassion. Joseph acted with compassion. What does it look like in your world to offer compassion? Are there people who you're working with, who you're related to, who you maybe don't care about or do care about, that need to see God's compassion offered through you? I believe one of the huge parts of Joseph being raised to a place of influence was his acting with compassion toward his brothers. And then Joseph was given influence and power. And it's amazing, you know, the place that he was given and the difference that he made in that position. So, that's Joseph. Now, for us, a couple of things. It's number three, make yourself available to God. Make yourself available to God. No matter what the circumstances of life you may find yourself in, no matter what you're experiencing, make yourself available to God. We may not often think about this in terms of the reality of daily life. You know, we think about ourselves as individuals who are just trying to get stuff done, get through, you know, keep a roof over our heads and food on the table. We need to think of ourselves as children of God. We need to think of ourselves as persons who've been redeemed by God. We need to think of ourselves as persons whom God might want to use. And I would say, in fact, God does want to use each one of us some way, somehow, today, this week. So we need to make ourselves available to God. Number four, anticipate God's good plan. Live with a faith that's always hopeful. Live with a faith that's always hopeful. Yeah, I wonder how Joseph felt when he was in that pit. Do you think he was hopeful? Yeah, I don't know. But I think there was a faith in his God that was hopeful. I think he believed that God was going to do something, not knowing what that might be, but that God was going to do something good. We need to live with a faith that is hopeful. Hopeful that in the midst of corruption, in the midst of evil, in the midst of people making choices for us that we don't think are fair, that God is going to take our situation, take that which is the government maybe is telling us we need to do that we don't think is fair, and is going to somehow use for good, for God's glory. And then number five, understand no matter what it looks like, God is working out his plan in our lives and his kingdom. God is in control. God has a plan. God's working out that plan no matter how bad it looks. God did that in Joseph's life. He did it for Joseph, but he did it for thousands of other people as well. You remember the story, don't you? There was a famine, and it was a 7-year famine that was coming. And God raised up Joseph and put him in this place of influence to care for thousands of people. Joseph's wisdom that came because of his love for God and his commitment to God gave him the understanding and knowledge and intelligence to say, okay, we're going to save this food. We're going to take the food that's available now and we're going to put it away in storage because there's this time coming that people are going to need that. And you know, Joseph's wisdom, his understanding that came to him through his faith and through his obedience and through his love of God, impacted thousands and thousands of people, but especially his brothers and his dad. In Genesis 50, verses 21 and 20 and 21, we read these words that we remember and we love. God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. This is Joseph talking now. And what has happened is Jacob has just died. Their dad just died. You know, they've all been there with Joseph and are all being cared for well. And Joseph understands and knows what his brothers are thinking. His brothers are thinking, oh, dad's gone. Now Joseph is going to, he's going to put us out. He's going to kick us out. He's going to kill us. He's going to take his revenge now that dad's not here any longer. And Joseph says, no. No, that's not what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to care for you and your children. We are living in a time where it's a mess. It's a mess. There's so much that's wrong. There's so much evil. There are two things that I want us to think about today. Number one, think about the possibility that God may want you to be a person of influence in our world, in our community here, in your family. That God may want you to be that Joseph who has experienced hate and anger and jealousy directed at you. Think that you might be one of those people. And then I want us to remember that God's in control. God is in control. Don't be afraid. Now, let's let God talk to us. This isn't Joseph. This is God saying, guys, I'm in control. I've got everything figured out. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm going to care for you and your children. Be encouraged, family of God. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged, friends. Have an expectation of what God is going to do. And maybe something special through you or me that we'd never, ever expect. I'm going to close today singing the song, Praise the Lord, the Almighty. We're not almighty, but our God is. Stand with me as we sing.